KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We'd like to thank all of you people out there that have sponsored us and keep this show on the air. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Today is August 10th, 2013. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator, all-around great gal and producer.
Thank you.
We are streaming worldwide. You're listening to No Fear Radio. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. Do we have any veterans events?
We do. The Wall of Remembrance is here in Reading out at Big League Dreams this weekend. They brought it in and we set it up on Thursday. And so people can go out there and view that. That is open 24 hours a day out there. So I know that some people like to go at different times when there's no crowds or anything and take a look at it. So you have access to it out there. Big League Dreams. So it will be here until Sunday. We will tear down the wall at 5, and then Missing in America Project has a barbecue fundraiser going on today from 10 to 2 at the Shasta Center. So go out there and show your support for Missing in America Project. They do a lot of wonderful good things out for the community. So,
all right, very good. Reading Tea Party meets Monday at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneville at Destiny Fellowship. I'm not sure what we have.
I believe it's a couple that they've had on the last two or three weeks.
Moriarty? Well, that's
I don't remember the names, but the people from Libya.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, they're going to be here in town.
I do believe so, that they're actually going to be at the meeting on Monday night.
Listen to We the People Radio tomorrow, 8 to 10, and I'm sure they'll announce it there as well. Yeah. Let's see. My first quote is, no amount of security is worth the suffering of a life chained to a routine that has killed your dreams. So I kind of like that one. Let's see. What have we got going here? I got so many headlines. It's absolutely ridiculous, as usual.
They don't stop.
Yeah, this is all the headlines that the news refuses to actually go after. The real news out there that seems to just miss the mainstream, the lamestream, and the news as it was.
All the streams.
Yeah, I got this one. Here's one. I got a U.S. Congressman, Trey Gowdy, says that the Obama administration is hiding survivors of the Benghazi massacre, dispersing them around the country, and changing their names. I mean, you know, you just can't make this stuff up. Yeah, here's a good one. The FBI is engaging in data mining separately from the NSA and can remotely activate microphones and cell phones, thus eliminating the need to place a physical wiretap. Really?
And nice.
They're seeking an additional $87 billion in funding for its cyber spying programs, which we don't have any domestic spying programs.
No, they wouldn't do that.
No, isn't that what we were told the other day from Jay Leno?
Yeah.
And Congress is likely to approve it without question in the name of national security. So, really? Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of the Congress thing, too, of just rubber stamping whatever they want in the name of security. Let's see. Obama administration has exempted hundreds of politically connected companies and unions from Obamacare now that it has exempted Congress and its staff.
But it's supposed to be so great.
Yeah, there's no elite playing field out there. There's no double standard. There's us and them, and they're us and we're not. So, oh, yeah. let's see. What else? We're going to have some more on this DARPA stuff. I've been collecting this stuff on DARPA. Excuse me. Here's another headline. The Department of Defense Research Unit, DARPA, has invited biotech companies to participate in a project to genetically engineer future humans. Don't worry. Nothing can go wrong. It's about improving health and longevity. And that's what the Defense Department specializes in, right?
Oh, sure they do.
Yeah. So they're going to genetically engineer future humans. You can't make this stuff up. So that's a big one.
Maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, it's like
we might have some involvement with that one.
Yeah, it's like going to be Skynet pretty soon. Yeah, I'll be back. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I want to go to my Arnold. Yeah, I crush your head like little walnut. You know, but let's see what else have we got here. Journalist organizing claims that CIA has routinely employed double tap drone attacks in Pakistan. Double tap means that they send in a second drone to kill the first responders who are attempting to help the victims in the first strike. I believe that's considered a war crime. So that was from the press TV. So I guess we won't, you know, that's not something that would actually be reported because that might make out the regime, the Obama regime, to actually be doing stuff that
they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, we can't have that. Let's see, FBI advised, Senator Rand Paul that none of its domestic drones are armed with weapons and it does not conduct bulk surveillance. In other words, arming drones and bulk surveillance are the next phase of the program. How do we know that? Because the Customs and Border Agency recently said so. They announced that they are considering arming their drones and installing eavesdropping equipment that can listen on phone calls on the ground, but don't worry, it hasn't happened yet. Let's see, what else we got here? The Drug Enforcement, the DEA is using information from the NSA to catch drug dealers. Don't worry about this interagency thing. This may sound like it's really a good thing, but the justification for NSA spying on Americans is to protect national security, not to catch drug dealers or pot smokers. Because of this, the government has gone to great lengths to conceal the fact that the NSA is the source of its information. Yeah, they're just so honest. We're going to talk about nullification, state nullification, because we're going to get to a point, ladies and gentlemen out there, that we just are going to have to refuse to comply with whatever the federal agents are doing at every level.
Yep.
It's just going to be, no, we're not going to do it. And so it's coming to that, because at what point in time do you keep letting the federal government, you know, and this has to be at the local and state level. We're going to talk more and more about it, because the real deal is that if all, you know, even a percentage of the states, a large percentage of the states say, okay, let's use Obamacare for an example, we're not going to participate.
Right.
Well, there's not enough federal enforcement to force everybody to participate. And that's where we're headed, guys. Believe it or not, we're going to have to be the
defender. Yeah, that's what it's going to take for the people to finally stand up and say, hey,
we're going to be the defender.
This is it.
We're the last line of defense of the Constitution, and people better wake up and realize it. At some point in time, you got to get out from under your table and quit cowering down, get involved and say, listen, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and refuse to comply with whatever they're doing. Oh, with that note, we got about a minute left. I got a couple more headlines and we'll come back on that subject. Bank of America is being sued by the Department of Justice and the SEC for selling $855 million in toxic mortgages. If this plays out as usual, the bank will be heavily fined. The fines will be paid by stockholders and taxpayers. The government will receive a bundle of money, and the executive responsible, instead of being punished, will receive pay raises. This has been going on for years. This is
this
game.
This is nothing new.
That's from Forbes, in case anybody wants to go look it up. Let's see, China's central bank has called once again for the removal of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. No problem there. Nothing to see here. Move right along. But when our currency is no longer the world reserve currency and it falls off the cliff of value and hyperinflation kicks in, not to worry. You know, when you go down and you get that loaf of bread for $50, it's okay. You'll get to eat for 2 days. So China and Russia are considering creating a gold-backed currency, which they should be able to do because they both have large stores of gold. This would make their currency favored over the U.S. dollar, which has no gold backing. Fiat currency, nothing behind it. It's worthless pieces of paper that they keep printing. The West's gold reserves are now greatly depleted and continue to dwindle. The COMEX is falling off the face of the earth. London bullion market, all of the gold is being drained out. Go look it up. You will see that that's the absolute truth. So, with that, I think we're ready for a break here.
All right. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Everyone here at Bastiani Arms wants you to know that we're proud to be your local gun shop. There's a special feeling running a small shop. It gives us a chance to spend more time with you, getting to know your needs, your shooting habits, helping us become the best shop we can for you. It also allows us to order just what we need. Keeping our overhead down means keeping our prices down, tailoring everything in the store for you, the customer. We'd like to remind you, it's never too early to learn gun safety, so bring the family down because we'd love to meet them. Bastiani Arms, Larkspur Lane, 222-8222. Join the revolution.
We could crank that up. Forget about the show.
Got to have a little bit of fun once in a while.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, so we're back. 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Radio and Community Radio for the North State. And No Fear Radio. That's us. So, let's see, where were we at? I got a couple more headlines here. We're kind of expecting Bill Chappell to come in. He's not here yet.
Yeah.
But, we'll just,
he should be showing here shortly.
Yeah, he'll be showing up here pretty quick. And, so a couple more headlines here. Let's see, Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who broke the story about the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, says that supporters of the spy program are trying to silence public outrage by scaring people with new terror threats. They would never do that.
No.
Yeah. If Greenwald is right, then the dramatic closing of the 21 U.S. embassies last week was primarily a bit of theater to engineer public opinion. Yeah, I would just be absolutely shocked if that was true. Shocked.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, shocked.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. And me neither. It's, yeah. You know, you gotta, yeah. So the next one is, Japanese government says it will step in to help stop the leak of radioactive water pouring into the ocean after it breaches a barrier wall. Well, step in to help stop the, okay, so it's already leaking radioactive water pouring into the ocean. The government proposes freezing the ground to block underground water from flowing. That is a novel solution, but it will add $400 million to the present $8.7 billion cleanup budget, all to be funded by taxpayers, which will require perpetual maintenance. And that's a good one. Yeah, let's see. U.S. Air Force airlifts 24 tons of cocaine from Costa Rica to Miami with a mysterious stopover in Nicaragua?
No.
Nicaragua. And, Honduras. The cocaine is missing.
Imagine that after the stopover. Huh. Yeah,
mysterious stopover in Nicaragua and Honduras, and the cocaine is missing, and there's no confirmation that it was destroyed. We are reminded that the CIA has a long history of dealing drugs to fund off-budget programs such as those that were disclosed during the Iran-Contra hearings in the late 1980s.
Nothing like that going on nowadays, though.
That comes from InfoWars. Let's see. What do we got? Smart meters. Texas. The Brady City Council, this is Texas, felt the power of citizens activism when Shirley Hempfield used the petition process to ban smart meters within the city. That's another example of what we need to do on nullification. You have to start, saying no, getting outraged, getting ticked off, getting involved, and letting your local guys know that you're not going to put up with it anymore, and getting the public outraged and saying we're just not going to do it. So, excuse me. What else do we have here? U.S. Judicial Watch is suing. This is Judicial Watch. This is Tom Fitton and those guys over at Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch, I guess I should pronounce that clearly, is suing the CIA to obtain documents proving that secret information was leaked to filmmaker Mark Bowell so he could produce Zero Dark Thirty, a pro-Obama film. The documents are expected to prove that Bowell was present when CIA Director Leon Panetta announced the identity of the Navy SEAL team that carried out the raid on Osama bin Laden. This is in stark contrast to the eagerness of the administration to prosecute whistleblowers who reveal negative information about Obama. Isn't that interesting? So if it's a good information, they don't mind leaking it out. Hey, everything's fine. Let's make a movie. But if it's something that the administration doesn't want you to hear about, then you better flee to Russia, you know, or there could be a drone strike. So, you know, yeah. Now this one particularly got me sort of mad. In less than 2 weeks, hellfire missiles launched by U.S. drones have killed at least 31 people in Yemen. 14 of the victims are believed by President Obama, the launcher in chief, to be Al-Qaeda militants. So 14 of the 31 are believed to be Al-Qaeda militants. One target was a school. Al-Qaeda is recruiting youth by telling them that their country is under attack by America. The increase in drone strikes creates far more enemies than are killed. So it's okay if you get 14 out of 31, and that's our drone striker in chief there, Mr. Obama. So anyway, you know, that's the headlines for the week, and that's the unfiltered news. You can look at all this stuff, look it up. You can Google it. It'll come up. And, so with that, let's see what else have we got on the table here. Our first guest here, Bill Chappell, is, just now seating himself and getting a microphone up and running and all that kind of good stuff. And we're going to be talking today about the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and their Board of Building Appeals. The letters and the people that were applying for it, yours truly being one of them. And we should have a call in from Terry Raposa here pretty soon. He was one of the other ones.
I believe he might be on the line now.
Is he on the line?
Yes. So we got everybody present now.
Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Very good. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Last night, we're in Sacramento, actually in Elk Grove, and last night we went to see Sherlock's Last Case, a play at the Kennedy Mine Amphitheater in Jackson on North Main Street. My oldest son had the lead in that play, and it was fantastic, but you're sworn to secrecy that you can't tell what the plot was about when you leave, and it's fantastic. Anybody that's heading this way, this play runs Friday and Saturday nights from 8 o'clock to about 10, and it's just a great play. It's Sherlock's Last Case. Anyway, that's what we're doing.
Very good. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself down there. We also have Bill now. He's up and running, it looks like. So good morning, Mr. Chappelle. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark and Ken. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, good. The fun never stops and no fear radio.
I had a couple late nights, so it was kind of rough. I didn't get to bed last night. So
I understand. I didn't sleep very well myself last night. It couldn't be all these things that are going on out there that are kind of disturbing.
No, nothing. Not at all. No,
nothing like that. Yeah, not the fact that we've got an out of control government infringing on all our rights at every level of the country. You know, every level of government. So I wanted to let's talk about this building appeals board thing while we got Terry on the line. And you know what happened was this goes to the Anselmo thing with the chapel up there about wanting to get rid of the chapel, and then you know the attorneys for Anselmo said something about there's being an appeals board, a board of appeals, building appeals that nobody even really knew about. And then, so they were going to have this board of appeals meeting and everybody showed up, and there was three guys there. And out of the three guys, according to the rules, you're supposed to have a term every 2 years. One guy, none of them had been reappointed. One guy had been on the board since 1968, didn't even know, you know, it was the first time he'd been called in. The other two, you know, were put on the board 2 years ago, never reappointed. We don't know who appointed these people in the first place. We have some ideas. And so it's kind of a controversy that's stirred up. Terry applied and sent a letter in and to the Shasta County Board of Appeals and to Glenda Tracy. And applied for the position. I also applied for the position. And so that's kind of where we're kind of picking up this story here, is that with this Board of Appeals, you know, the letters that were sent in, at the time, I believe it was, there was just me and you, Terry, and they said there was two other letters there?
Well, what happened is on July the 26th, before that, that meeting, that was taking place about Anselmo's Chapel, I applied and got a signed receipt from the clerk's office that I had applied. And, Mark, I know you sent in your application. I had called Glenda Tracy previously to ask her what the qualifications were. She told me what they were. Basically, it's just a letter of interest, a little bit about yourself, name, address, et cetera. I complied with that, and then on that Tuesday, which was July 30th, I had gotten a letter that was dated July 29th. Now, backing up to the meeting day, during the meeting, which we have on film, Ms. Tracy said that at that time, around 10 o'clock in the morning, on July the 26th, which was a Friday, they only had three applications that they knew of, okay? I was the fourth one that came that day. But by the time that Monday rolled around, which was the 29th, which is when they sent Mark and I the letter, which stated, by the way, I don't know if you read the letter or not, Mark, because I just got on a few minutes ago, but
yeah.
The letter stated that they wanted from Mark and I a resume.
Yeah, it says,
and more background.
Let me read it, Terry, because it's there's a sentence there before that. It says, due to the volume of letters of interest that have been submitted. And I think that's important to point out. Due to the volume of letters that have been submitted, may I please request that you send a resume expressing your current involvement in the local community as well as information regarding your background. So you know, really a volume of letters was in there, so they needed to get resumes because, from my understanding is when you talked to her, she said there was only two other applications.
Well, no, what she said was Friday morning on the 26th that there were only three applications.
Oh.
That's what she had said. The letter that she sent to you and I was on the 29th. The 30th is when I had called her because I had just received the letter and I told her that I was, you know, a bit disturbed about receiving a letter telling me I needed to send her a resume. I had complied with everything that she had asked for. She, at that time, said, well, due to the volume of letters, that's why I did that. I go, well, how many applications do you have? And she said 17. And I thought, 17? How did it go from, you know, over the weekend, you got another 15 of those? Is that what you're saying? So basically, I kind of questioned that, and I knew for a fact that she had not received all 17 because I had talked to two people who had sent their letters in Monday afternoon, and I knew that with my letter coming out on Monday, the 29th, there's no way she could have read all 17. And, Mark, you can kind of pick it up from there because apparently you called in right after I did 10 minutes later. Oh, and to back up a bit, she also said, I said, well, how many of these letters went out where you asked for more information? She said two, and I said, I'll bet I know who the other person is. And I called Mark, and sure enough, I asked Mark if he had gotten a letter, and Mark said, you bet. And so he called her back in 10 minutes, and her response to you was, Mark?
Well, her response to me was that, you know, she was still looking for somebody on the board for that had financial background and experience, and that that's why she needed the resume from me. And I already told her in my letter, it says that I've been an owner of a tax preparation and accounting business since 1982. Now, let's go to a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll finish this out, and we'll stay right on task here and get Bill involved.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Here's another energy savings tip from Reading Electric Utility, REU. Windows are the number one source of heat gain in your home. Installing solar screens, window treatments, or new low-E windows significantly reduces heat gain and reduces your summer air conditioning costs, putting money back in your pocket. For more energy-saving tips or rebate information, visit us at rupower.com or call us at 339-7300. REU. Together, we can save energy.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Come on.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back, home of No Fear Radio. That's us. And we're talking about the Board of Appeals, the Building Appeals Board, not the Board of Appeals, and this letter that we submitted to apply for the board and talk. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, I'm reading right out of the code here and on you know, who's supposed to get on the board or who they want on the board. Board of, you know, this is 16.04.070 Board of Building Appeals, if anybody wants to look this up in the code. There is in the county a Board of Building Appeals composed of 5 members appointed by the Board of Supervisors for 2-year terms, ending on December 31st of every even-numbered year. The board members shall include a licensed architect, an engineer, and a certified building designer, which we've got some issues with that because all of those guys have to go to these guys to get permits and get approved by the Board of Supervisors. So, you know, the other two that are involved are a citizen representing the public at large and somebody with a financial background, representative of, that they say, of a financial institution. So that seems to me that there's a little bit of a problem there because the board, you know, you can control the 3 guys over the 2 and always get the right decision. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like there's a conflict of interest there during their terms. And one thing I want to point out that, too, it says that the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Appeals composed of 5 members appointed by the Board of Supervisors for 2-year terms. Now, the question is, who appointed these guys that were there at this meeting last week? And, you know, when are their terms up? Let's see, what year is it? 2013. If they weren't, if they were appointed, they said by their own admissions, they were appointed back in 2010, which means that their terms, or at least the 2 of them, the one guy was 1968 or something. So I guess he hasn't been reappointed for, what, 40 years. And then the other 2 guys, you know, they got appointed in 2010, and by who, I'm not sure. And so then I guess there should have been up in 2012. And, but it's 2013, and, as far as you know, is there a reappointment, Bill?
All right, let me add some clarity to it, okay?
Okay.
First of all, the letters, there's 19 letters that have been submitted total at this point. I did do some research to try and find out how they were appointed, when they were appointed, and who appointed them. The board that appointed them was consisting of Les Ball, Leonard Modi, David Kehoe, Linda Hartman, and Glenn Haas. They were appointed back in 2012, and their period and term now ends 2014 in December.
Okay. And so how come they only appointed the 2, and they appointed all 3 of them?
All 3 at that time, yes.
Did the appointments, that they when they made the appointments, don't the guys have to accept those appointments?
That's what it shows, that they voted on it. The board back then voted on those 3 people.
But did those people accept the appointments? Because it just seems funny that they didn't even know that they, you know, had been reappointed or, you know, any contact since 2010.
That's the question. There's a couple valid questions. That's one of the valid questions. And the other one is, the person that was critiquing the letters as submitted. Okay, there was letters that went out, they went out premature, the letter to you, the letter to Terry, requesting resumes when they actually hadn't read your application, which the information was on the letter. So those are the 2, I would say, as far as really valid questions. I don't know if I'd read anything else into it.
Right.
As you know, there can be prejudice in government. Okay?
Right. Yeah,
there is a couple.
There's
a couple quick things about what Mr. Lee said at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, and that is, number one, that these people hadn't met for some time, which was 22 years. Number two, that these particular people could make a quorum. That's the real kicker here, a quorum of 3, because there was 3 of them. The problem with that is every vote would have to be unanimous, and if that happens, then a lot of times you're going to get a stalemate of some kind. That's why they have a board of five, so you get three out of five, which makes it absolutely fair. So any kind of – the board can operate with three, but the problem is that all the information has to be – agreed upon it all together, and that's just something that's out of line. Also, Mr. Lee stated that he believed that he had to go in and show these people how the Brown Act works, which I thought was a little weird, because didn't he do that originally with these guys? Apparently these guys weren't versed in the Brown Act, but now they're going to be. Seems a little bit fly by the pants to me.
Well, I mean, that's a strong possibility, and like I said, there may be a question as when they got reappointed, if they really were notified by it or not. I mean, the only way you could find that out is to talk to them, but you guys were actually at the meeting, and you probably saw some question marks on some faces, so it made you feel like there was a doubt that they actually knew they were reappointed. And I think, in all fairness, because it seemed to me the bits and pieces I got out of that meeting, since I got there just about when it was over with, was they weren't even for sure exactly what their position was going to be or whether how they're going to make a decision. I think if you've got a board of appeals, it should be five. Yes, technically three is a quorum, but it should be five. Otherwise, you need some diversity, okay? You need a pro and a con on debates. And people need to express their opinions one way or the other. Right or wrong, whether the pro or the cons, right or wrong, whatever, those debates need to get back and forth so, to me, a very logical, fair decision can happen.
Well, also, with three people, every vote has to be unanimous. That's unheard of. That's
well, that's
why.
Correct, yeah, Terry. I mean, that's obvious, though. That's
yeah.
You know, it's obvious there. So, and that's what I'm saying. As I'm saying is that five is what it should be, if that's what
yes.
It is. It technically... It was a quorum, but what I'm saying is that it's way better, and if you have five, you should have five. And we do have five now, so.
Oh, we do.
We will. No,
okay.
Excuse me,
okay.
Not now. We will have five.
Well, that was opening
eventually.
Up a can of worms.
Yeah, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, evidently these reappointments are in the minutes. There's paperwork to back that up.
I've got it on my desk. And if I, of course, I came from the Bay Area last night very, very late. And I requested it from one of the gals when all these issues came up. I wanted to just double check on everything. And that's what I've got so far.
Do these gentlemen have to reapply? Do they have to send a letter of request to be on the board when they reapply? Or is it just you just automatically get a phone call and you're appointed whether you want to apply or not?
No, there needs to be an expression whether they want to be on the board or not. And if you want to raise a question on that, I mean, that could be a valid question because – I don't know, and I don't know other than if you talk to them personally, what you would find out, okay?
Well, the last letters that we saw that were on public record were dated February the 5th, 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I have a question here, too. As I'm reading this thing, it says, the Board of Appeals shall adopt rules for the conduct of its investigations and hearings and shall meet upon the call of the building official, its chairman, and majority of the members or the board of supervisors. Has there been any rules adopted for the conduct of their investigations that you're aware of?
You know what, you guys, I'm going to tell you this, and I was totally left out on all this stuff. All I knew from some other cases that were taken care of in the county when I first got appointed in early January, I was asking about the Board of Appeals. My answer back to me was, yes, we have a Board of Appeals. My next question was, who is it? I never got that answered. So when they showed up that day, that's who I knew. So I feel, as being a supervisor, I should have at least been notified as to who the people were. So, don't take this wrong, but I'm just looking back. Maybe this thing was done on a helter-skelter, try to put it very fast together, quick deal. And,
that sure is what it seems like.
Well, and it looks like that because it was very, unorganized. I mean, I even told Larry, I said, this is embarrassing to us to put something like this together. It looks like it was very last minute. And so, being a supervisor, we should have known about it. I knew nothing about it till that meeting that day, so.
Wow. Well, with that, we need to probably go to a break, and let's come back and maybe we can finish this up. But I'd like to talk about the travel management plans too, if we can squeeze that in today. We never have enough time, and you know, this subject is not going to go away anytime soon, so.
No, and it's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal, so.
All right.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This week, we welcome college student Dan Johnson, the founder of PANDA, People Against the National Defense Authorization Act. PANDA is now the largest organization in the country fighting the NDAA's provisions for indefinite military detention of U.S. citizens without charge or trial and the application of the laws of war to American soil. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
We rock!
Well, Bob, you are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
That's that old rock and roll, though. Terrible, terrible stuff. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, it makes you act real weird.
Yeah.
Yep. I fight authority and authority, and I always will, I guess, is the question. Yeah.
Well, we were just talking during the break that, you know, Bill was saying how hard it was to get some of the information in regards to this stuff. You would have thought, or one would think, that the Board of Supervisors, when you took the position, that they would have automatically gave that information over to the incoming people.
Or at least, you know, made you aware of some of these things that are going on before you get, you know, blindsided by them. So it seems like it's a good old boy network, and if I guess you're not at the good old boy network, and then you got to scratch and claw to get anything information wise. Is that overstating it, Bill?
You know, I don't know. It's you know, I'm gonna this you know my opinion, and my opinion in a buck and a half will always get you a cup of coffee, but it puts doubt in my mind how valid that appeals board was.
Right.
Okay. And all of a sudden, and that's why I wanted to find out when they were appointed and everything. And unfortunately, I never got an answer who was on it, which if they had elected him back in 12, you'd have thought they could have told me the three names right off the bat. But I never got that information. Like I said earlier, when I found out is when everybody else found out when they went to the meeting. And
well, and that brings up the question of the selection process now of who's going to get appointed.
That's a good question. That you're supposed to be us. So
it says the Board of Supervisors. It doesn't say part of the Board of Supervisors. It seems like the Board of Supervisors encompasses all you guys. Yeah. And, you know, from what I'm getting is you haven't been a part of this process at all.
Well, here's the way that it should be handled if they're going to handle it in a legitimate manner. If we're the ones that are going to be responsible for the appointments, then we need to be reviewing those applications.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Because we don't know who's applying. We don't know who's getting picked. It seems like this is all being done behind closed doors with the staffers, I guess, or Larry Lees, or who's ever in charge of this project, Glenda. I don't even know.
I would say I can't confirm, say that is. It has an appearance.
Yeah.
I did ask Glenda if she was told to send the letters to Mark and I, and she said after a long pause that it was her idea to do it. And as Mark has already stated, you know, basically she apparently had never read his letter if she had to go get it to realize what it said.
Yeah, so how could she be in charge? See, something stinks to high heaven here because she you know, specifically tells me that she's still looking for a financial guy and she needed a resume from me. And I says, well, it's in my letter, and I'm reading it right on my letter. I have been an owner of tax preparation and accounting business since 1982, and I feel that I can offer my business and accounting expertise to the Shasta County and the Building Appeals Board. So I've been in this business, and, you know, her remark is, well, who have you worked for? Well, I've been working for myself, you know, and I could put together countless, you know, I've passed the enrolled agents exam. I'm licensed tax preparer with the state of California. I've taken all the courses to be a tax attorney. You know, I could go on and on and on and on. I've got 30 years worth of education in finances. And,
well, who gave her the authority to do that?
Well, the question is, she didn't even look at my letter,
well,
obviously.
Well, I know, but, and then she is going to send out letters to people. Who gives her that authority to make that call to request more information?
Well, apparently she works for Larry Lees.
Yeah, and that is not the Board of Supervisors. And so, you know, it makes you kind of wonder what's going on with the staffers behind the board. Does any of the other board members know about what's going on here as well, or is this just, you know, a secret squirrel thing?
I haven't had a chance to talk to any, but as you guys know, Brown's Act, I can talk to one and that's it. And I've got one in mind I'm going to talk to, but that will be it. So I'll only get one opinion. And that's what I said previously. If there is one valid argument or whatever you want to call it here, is that some decisions were made prior to reviewing the letters, which, you know, there's a question why. And that's it. I mean, it's there.
Yeah, I think you're right, Bill. The big thing is that the letters that Mark and I got were dated the 29th. The deadline for the letters wasn't even until the 31st. So how can you know what everybody sent if you haven't even reached the deadline yet? We immediately got our letter, and of course we were the only ones. Yet she was trying to say it was based on a criteria of what she had gotten from 17 letters, which there's no way she could have read of them all. And, you know, I really wonder if that was even her pay grade. It's, it's hard to believe that a lot of decisions were made by her. It's just hard to believe. Not saying she didn't make them. Well, it's hard to believe.
Let me wrap it up this way. One, there's 19 now. And two, I'll be pursuing this until I'm satisfied, okay?
Good. Good. Because right. I think the criteria for these letters are you a conservative activist? So with that, let's see if we can get a little bit of the travel management plans in here, because I hate to just skip that. There was a big meeting the other day over at the Veterans Hall with the Forest Service, and a lot of people showed up and a lot of opinions, and a lot of people weren't real happy with the existing people that were in charge of everything. And now we've got a new guy that was been here 8 days, and he got blasted pretty good. I'm hopeful, but not very optimistic considering what I heard. So I don't know. Have you got something to add on that, Bill?
Well, let me just say what my experience is, and, yeah, I can add a lot to it. I was on Shasta Lake for 25 years operating Lakeshore Resort and Marina, dealt with the Forest Service all those years and the different inequities that they produce with their policies and procedures. As you know, they only operate two lakes, this one in Trinity in the whole United States. So it's their only recreation background. Let's go backwards just a little bit, okay? Forest Service used to have 55,000 employees. Now it has 250,000 employees.
Wow.
When I first got up there in 78, I actually saw a Forest Service that was made mostly of men. They were pretty robust. They ran. They lifted weights. A fire would break out. They'd pull up. They'd help. They'd start cutting lines. They could run equipment. They could run cats and everything else, whatever they had to run. And they participated in the fires. Since that time, 78, 79, 80, 81, there was a degeneration, and excuse me, ladies, it's not because it's any influence on you, but they did hire, and they all hire females. And what happened is that because the incapacity to be able to do this robust work, and it is, it's hard work. You're climbing up some pretty steep grades, hauling a ton of heavy equipment on your back and everything else. It's ended up to where they're inert as far as trying to fight fires. Now, let's look at the bigger picture. And I know some people think this is a little weird. Looking up on the internet, Agenda 21 popped in somewhere along the line there. And you've got George Herbert Walker Bush, the first Bush. He signed on to Agenda 21. What's this got to do with it? Bill Clinton ratified it with an executive order. So you've got a Republican and a Democrat that went both for Agenda 21. What was Bill's position in that? He cut back 3% of the rural roads in his terms, okay? So this rural road cutting back had started back then with the auspices of let's try to push Agenda 21 as forward as we can without the public really being aware of what we're actually doing. We see a lot more now with our present administration. They're a lot more active. They're a lot more transparent. It doesn't take a brilliant scientist to figure out what is really going on, what's happening with what we've got there. And it's really hard to trust the Democrats or the Republicans at this point. If you look at the map on Agenda 21, there is hardly any room for people. It's mostly wilderness. Since I was up at the lake, when I first got up there, we had loggers. Wow, who are loggers? I don't even know what they look like anymore. They used to come into the bar and restaurant, and they worked, and they were working the forest. What do they do when they work the forest? They go in and they cut roads, they cut fire breaks, they tear out brush, they trim the trees up. That's a remarkable idea, to trim the trees up. Why would you want to trim the trees up? Because the trees that stand with room to grow, grow faster and larger, and they're way more healthier. That animals like that. Then came the spotted owl. Oh, well, we can't go in the forest anymore because we're going to disturb the spotted owl. Where do the spotted owls go now? They go to the forests that are being managed privately that are actually still thinning the trees out because they can't see what they need to eat. The rodents that are running on the ground, it's so far grown up, they can't see it anymore. So what we've created with the spotted owl is an unhealthy forest. And fires.
And fuel, and a lot of fuel. One of the
tons
byproducts
of fuel.
Is that if you don't trim the trees up, there's tons of fuel that is gonna cause a bigger, hotter fire. I used to be actually a licensed timber faller when I was a kid, and I worked for the Forest Service for CDF in my younger days. And, you know, it's completely changed from what it was back then to now, like you say. And this travel management is a problem because they're just trying to limit access on everything.
They want to pull the people in out of the country and get them all in the city, okay? And that's the major thrust of trying to do this. So closing the roads is just part of keeping people from being able to go out there. You know, one of the things is the Forest Service is supposed to be, those forests are supposed to be public lands. I've seen some campgrounds now up in the Lakehead area where they blocked the entry roads off. So now you have to park on the road and walk in.
We got about a minute, Bill, here. So we're running out of time. So okay. We need to come back and do more on this.
One of the other things is the wilderness areas. That was the next step that they did. The wilderness areas nobody can go into, not even to fight a fire, which is totally insane because the fuel that's grown now is totally different than what it used to be. It used to be short brush. Indians burnt the forest in the wintertime. They kept all the brush out of there. Now you've got the small brush, but now you've got brush that's 20 feet tall. Thank you.
We're going to have to come back, yep. And there's never enough time. So tea party tomorrow. Yep. Or no, We the People, the tea party
on Monday night at 6 p.m.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460 Free Fire Media.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. They've pulled four victims from the burned wreckage of the small plane that crashed and burned into two houses in East Haven, Connecticut.
Heard a plane come in like I do every single day. Just engine just kind of a thump and it just stopped. I didn't hear it, so I came outside and one of the neighbors was outside screaming.
The day after, we still don't know why it crashed. Two of the dead were the pilot and his son from Washington State out visiting colleges. The other two victims were inside a home, presumably two kids. Her mother and brother are dead, and the search for Hannah Anderson is focused on vast wilderness in central Idaho, where she and James DiMaggio, the man believed to have kidnapped the 16-year-old, were spotted.
San Diego Sheriff Bill Gore says something didn't add up.
They did seem to think the two of them were out of place in that area with the light camping equipment they had. It is very rugged terrain.
The riders called authorities who began a search of the area. James DiMaggio's blue Nissan Versa was found without license plates. Sharon Katchen, Fox News Radio.
Derek